I'd like you to hear now the story of the greatest life that was ever lived, as told by the prophets who looked toward it, and as told by those who experienced him face to face. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. He came for testimony, to bear witness to the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but came to bear witness to the light. The true light, which enlightens every man, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who received him, who believed on his name, to them he gave power to become children of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. We have beheld his glory, the glory as of the only Son of the Father. John bore witness to him and cried, "This is he of whom I said, after me comes one who ranks before me, for he was before me." And from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son, who is in the bosom of the Father. He has made him known. In those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary his betrothed. And it came to pass, while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that region shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be to you and to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace with men among whom he is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And they made known what had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds said. But Mary kept all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. When the time came for their purification, according to the custom of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now there was in Jerusalem a man whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, and he was looking for the consolation of Israel. And it had been revealed to him by the Spirit that he should not taste death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So inspired of the Spirit, he went into the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, "Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to thy people Israel." And his father and mother marveled at what was said concerning him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign to be spoken against. And a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that thoughts out of many hearts may be revealed. And the child grew and increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being procurator of Judea and Herod Tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip Tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius Tetrarch of Abilene, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, who shall prepare thy way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight his paths. John the baptizer appeared in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance unto the forgiveness of sins. And there went out to him all the region of Judea and all the people of Jerusalem, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John wore camel's hair and had a leather girdle around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, After me comes one who is mightier than I, the thong of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Spirit. In those days Jesus came out of Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as he came up out of the water, he saw the heavens open and the Spirit of God descending upon him as a dove. And a voice came from heaven, Thou art my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. The Spirit immediately drove him into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered unto him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. There was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and Jesus was invited to the marriage with his disciples. When the wine failed, his mother said to him, They have no wine. He said to her, O woman, what have you to do with me? My hour has not yet come. But his mother said to the servants, Do whatever he tells you. Now 6 stone jars were standing there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding about 20 or 30 gallons. And he said to them, Fill them with water. So they filled them up to the brim. And he said, Now, take some out and take it to the steward of the feast. So they took it. When the steward of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know whence it came from, although the servants who drew it knew, the steward of the feast called to the bridegroom and said, Everyone serves the good wine first, and when men have drunk freely, the poor wine. But you have saved the good wine until now. This, the first of his miracles, Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God were with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter his mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus said to him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound thereof, but you do not know whence it comes or whither it goes. So it is also with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said, How can this be? Jesus said, Are you a teacher in Israel and yet do not understand this? We speak of what we know and bear testimony to what we have seen, but you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? no one has ascended into heaven except the Son of Man who descended from heaven. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so also must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him may have eternal life. And He returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and the report of Him spread through all the surrounding country. And He was teaching in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And He went on the Sabbath day, as was His custom, to the synagogue. And He stood up to read. There was handed to Him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And He opened the book, and found the place where it was written, saying, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon Me, because He has anointed Me to preach the good news. He has sent Me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And He closed the book and handed it again to the attendant, and the eyes of all those in the synagogue were fastened on Him. Then He began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of Him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of His mouth and said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" A leper came to Him, kneeling and beseeching Him, said to Him, "If You will, You can make me clean." Moved with compassion, Jesus stretched forth His hand and touched him and said, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and the man was made whole. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once, saying to him, "See to it that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for cleansing what Moses commanded as a proof to the people." But the man went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in the country, and people came to Him from every quarter. Seeing the crowds, He went up into a mountain. When He was sat down, His disciples came to Him. And He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on My account. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how can its saltness be restored? It is then good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. So let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And in those days He went up onto the mountain to pray, and He continued all night in prayer to God. When it was morning, He called to Him His disciples, from whom He chose 12, whom He named apostles: Simon, whom He named Peter, and Andrew His brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon who is called the Zealot, and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. Soon afterward, they came to a village called Nain, and His disciples and a large crowd were with Him. As He drew near to the gate of the city, behold, a man who had died was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. When the Lord saw her, He had compassion on her and said to her, "Woman, do not weep." And He came and touched the bier, and the bearers stood still. And He said, "Young man, I say to you, rise." And the dead man sat up and began to talk, and He gave him to his mother. Fear seized them all, and they glorified God, saying, truly a prophet has risen among us, and God has visited his people. And the report of him spread through the whole of Judea and all the surrounding countryside. They came to the other side of the lake, to the country of the Gadarenes. And as he was coming out of the boat, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit who lived among the tombs. And no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been bound with fetters and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart and the fetters he broke in pieces. And no one had the strength to subdue him. But night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshipped him, and crying out with a loud voice said to him, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure you, by God, do not torment me." For he had said to the man, "Come out of him, you unclean spirit." And he begged him that he might not send him out of the country. Now a large herd of swine were feeding on the hillside, and they begged him that he might give them leave and that they might enter the swine. So he gave them leave, and they came out of the man, and the whole herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down a steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen fled and told it in the city and the country what it was that had happened, and people came to see it. And they came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, the man who had had the demons, clothed and in his right mind. And they were filled with fear. And those who saw it told what had happened to the man who had had the demons and to the swine. And they began to beg Jesus eagerly to depart from their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had had the demons begged him that he might go with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home. And tell your friends how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy upon you." So the man went out and began to proclaim in all the Decapolis the things which the Lord had done for him, and all men marveled. He went on from there and passed along by the Sea of Galilee and went up into the mountains and sat down. And multitudes came to him, bringing with them the lame, the maimed, the blind, and the dumb, and many others, and sat them at his feet. And he healed them, so that the throngs wondered when they saw the lame walking, the maimed whole, the blind seeing, and the dumb speaking, and they glorified the God of Israel. And he went on from there to the villages of Caesarea Philippi with his disciples. And on the way he said to them, "Who do men say that I am?" They answered him, "John the Baptist. And others say Elijah. And others, one of the prophets." He said to them, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Christ." And he sternly charged him that they should tell no one about him. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the chief priests and the elders and the scribes and be killed, and after 3 days rise. And he said this plainly, but Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But the Lord, turning and seeing his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for you are not on the side of God, but of men." And calling the multitudes to him with his disciples, he said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever will save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake and for the gospel's will save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeit his own life? For what can a man give in exchange for his life? Whoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with all the holy angels." And they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives. And he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone asks you what you're doing, tell them the Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately." So they went and found a colt tied at a door out in the open street, and they untied it. And those who stood by said, "What are you doing untying the colt?" And they told them what the Lord had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their garments on it. And many spread their garments on the road, and others spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed after cried, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest!" And he said to the multitudes with his disciples, "The scribes and Pharisees sit on Moses' seat, So practice and observe whatever they tell you, but not what they do, for they preach, but do not practice. They bind heavy burdens, hard to bear, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not lift them with their finger. They do all to be seen of men. For they make their phylacteries broad and their fringes long, and they love the places of honor at the feasts, and the best seats in the synagogues, and salutations in the marketplaces, and being called rabbi by men. But you are not to be called rabbi by men, for you have one teacher, and you're all brothers. Neither call anyone father on earth, for you have one father who is in heaven. Neither call anyone master, for you have one master, the Christ. Whoever would be greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven against men. You neither enter in yourselves, nor allow those who would to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you traverse land and sea to make a single proselyte, and when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, if anyone swears by the temple, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gold of the temple, he is bound by his oath, you blind guides. Which is greater, the gold or the temple that has made the gold sacred? And you say, if anyone swears by the altar, it is nothing, but if anyone swears by the gift on the altar, he is bound by his oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Whoever swears by the altar swears by it and by everything that is on it. Whoever swears by the temple swears by it and him who dwells in it. Whoever swears by heaven swears by God's throne and him who sits upon it. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe dill and mint and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These ought you to have done without neglecting the others. You blind guide, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup and plate, but inside they are full of extortion and rapacity. You blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and plate, that the outside may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So outwardly you appear righteous before men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous and say, if we had lived in the days of our fathers, we would not have taken part with them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets. Thus you testify against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you brood of vipers. How are you to escape being sentenced to hell? Therefore, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, some of whom you will kill and crucify, others whom you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from town to town, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of innocent Abel to the blood of Zechariah the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the sanctuary and the altar. Truly I say to you, all this shall come to pass on this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, stoning the prophets and killing those who are sent to you, how often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house is forsaken and desolate. And you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. As they sat at table, he took bread and broke it and gave it to them, saying, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. In the same manner also he took the cup. When he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I shall not drink again of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. When they sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. They came to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch. And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he cried, Abba, Father, all things are possible with thee. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but thy will be done. And he came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter, Simon, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went again saying the same words, and he came again and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy, and they did not know how to answer him. And he came a third time and said to them, Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let's be going. See, my betrayer is at hand. And while he was still speaking, Judas came, one of the 12, and with him a large crowd with swords and clubs from the chief priests and the elders and the scribes. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying, The one I kiss is the man. Seize him and lead him away under guard. And when Judas came, he went up to him at once and said, Master, and kissed him. And they laid hands upon Jesus and seized him. But one of those who stood by drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. Jesus said to them, Are you come out against me as against a robber with swords and clubs? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not seize me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled. And they all forsook him and fled. And as soon as it was morning, the chief priests with the elders and the scribes and the whole council held a consultation. And they bound Jesus and delivered him to Pilate. Pilate said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? And he said to him, You have said so. And the chief priests brought many accusations against him. And Pilate said, Have you no answer to make? See how many charges they bring against you. But he said no further word, so that Pilate wondered. Now at the feast, he used to release for them one prisoner whom they desired. And among the rebels in prison who had committed murder in the insurrection was a man named Barabbas. And the crowd came to Pilate and began to ask him to do for them as he was wont. Pilate said to them, Shall I release for you the king of the Jews? For he perceived that it was out of envy that the chief priests had delivered him up. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to ask him that he should release for them Barabbas instead. And Pilate said, What shall I then do with the one whom you call the king of the Jews? And they cried out, Crucify him. Pilate said, Why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, Crucify him. So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released unto them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. And the soldiers led him into the palace, that is the praetorium, and they gathered the whole battalion together, and they stripped him of his clothes, and put a purple cloak upon him, and plaiting a crown of thorns, put it on his head. And they saluted him, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck his head with a reed, and spat upon him, and smote him, and bowed down in homage to him. And when they had finished mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak, and put his own clothes on him, and led him away to crucify him. And they came to a place called Golgotha, that is, place of a skull. And they offered him wine mingled with myrrh, but he did not take it. And there they crucified him, dividing his garments among them, casting lots to determine what each should take. Now it was the third hour when they crucified him, and the inscription of the charge against him read, The King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, Aha, you who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross. Likewise also, the chief priests mocked him to one another with the scribes, saying, He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe. So also those who were crucified with him reviled him. When the sixth hour had come, there was darkness over the face of the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice,
Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of those who stood there said, behold, he is calling Elijah. And one ran and, filling a sponge full of vinegar, put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink, saying, wait, let us see if Elijah will come to take him down. But he uttered a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the centurion who stood facing him, when he saw that he thus breathed his last, said, truly this man was the Son of God. When evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council who was himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And Pilate wondered if he were already dead. And summoning the centurion, he asked if he was dead. When the centurion told him he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. And he bought a linen shroud and took him down from the cross and wrapped him in the linen shroud and placed him in a tomb which had been hewn from the rock and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where they laid him. The next day, that is, after the day of preparation, the chief priests with the Pharisees gathered together before Pilate and said, sir, we remember while that impostor was still alive, he said, after 3 days I will rise. Therefore, order a guard of soldiers to make the sepulcher secure, lest his disciples come and steal the body and tell the people he has risen, and the last fraud become worse than the first. Pilate said to them, you have a guard of soldiers. Make it as secure as you can. So they made the sepulcher secure by sealing the stone and setting a guard. Now, when the Sabbath was past, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the sepulcher. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone and sat upon it. His appearance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. For fear of him, the guards trembled and became as dead men. And the angel said to the women, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he is alive and is going before you into Galilee. Lo, I have told you. And the women ran with fear and great trembling to tell the disciples. Mary Magdalene ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away our Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. And they both came out and went toward the tomb. They both ran. But the other disciple did outrun Simon Peter, and reaching the tomb first, stooped to look in and saw the linen cloths lying, but he himself did not go in. Then came Simon Peter following him, and he went into the sepulcher and saw the linen cloths lying, and the napkin which had been about his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but wrapped up in a place by itself. Then went in that other disciple, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. That same day, two of them were on a road to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and conversing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, what's this conversation you're having with each other as you walk? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them, named Cleopas, said, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem in these days that does not know the things that have happened there? He said to them, what things? They said, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, this is the third day since this has happened. Moreover, certain women of our company amazed us, for they went to the sepulcher early in the morning, but him they did not find, and instead returned, saying they had even seen a vision of angels who said he has risen from the dead. And some of those who were with us also went to the sepulcher and found it as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer and enter his glory? And beginning with the law of Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. They drew near to the village where he was going, but he appeared to be going further. But they constrained him, saying, "Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." So he went in to stay with them. While he sat at table with them, he took bread and blessed, broke it and gave it to them, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he was with us on the road, while he opened our minds to understand the Scriptures?" And they rose at that same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and those with them who were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared unto Simon." And they made known what had happened to them on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. While they were saying this, Jesus himself stood in their midst. And they were startled and frightened, supposing they had seen a spirit. And he said, "Why are you troubled? And why do questionings arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit has not flesh and bones as you see that I have." And while they still disbelieved for joy, he said to them, "Do you have anything to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it before them. And he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything which was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms should be fulfilled." And he opened their mind to understand the Scriptures and said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and after 3 days rise, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but remain in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. And while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. "Behold, my servant, he shall prosper. He shall be exalted and lifted up, and shall be very high. As many as were astonished at him, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the fashion of men, so shall he startle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which they have not seen, they shall see, and that which they have not heard, they shall understand. Who has believed what we have heard?" Grew up before him as a young plant and as a root out of dry ground. He had no form or comeliness that we should desire him, and no beauty that we should look at him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. But we did esteem him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that made us whole, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Like a sheep that is led to the slaughter, and like a lamb that before its shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was carried away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? Yet it was the will of God to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When he makes himself an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the fruit of the travail of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, because he bore the sin of many. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the great, and he will divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors and bore the sins of many, and intercedeth for the transgressors. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders, the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads, and thousands of thousands, crying with a loud voice, "Power and wealth, honor and wisdom, glory and might and blessing be unto the Lamb." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all therein saying, "To Him who sits upon the throne and to the Lamb be glory and honor and blessing now and forever. Amen. 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 Amen." This is Your word, Lord, which we have shared today, not our own, lest our confidence would rest in the vain imaginations of men. We dare to stand upon the naked reality of Your word and dare to believe that He who came is all that those who saw Him said Him to be. He is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Savior of the world, without whom we cannot be saved, without whom we can never see God, but who gives to all of those who would receive the gift of eternal life. So we receive that gift in the name of our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. You may have never opened your life to Jesus Christ, but as we have shared the account of those who saw Him and of the prophet Isaiah who foretold Him, the Holy Spirit through His word has borne witness to your heart and has asked you the question that He once asked His disciples. You know what others think of Him, but Jesus says to you directly, "Who do you say that I am?" Have you in your heart said, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You're the Savior of the world. You're my Savior." And saying that, have you given your life to Him? There need not be a public display, although God will want you to confirm it with water baptism. But in your heart right now, would you say where you're sitting, if you've never said yes to Jesus, would you say yes in this moment? From the quietness of your own heart, lift a prayer unto the Lord. "Lord, on this Easter day, I too believe. And I confess with those who knew You, and with all the angels, with all the saints, You are the Lord. You died for my sin. You forgive me. I repent and turn from my own way to embrace Your way, to obey You in all things." To say that from the heart and to confess that from the lips, according to the Scripture, is to be saved. Glory and honor and blessing be unto Jesus, and praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen.